A Christian community of thoughtful faith and action. We want to live that out, and one of the ways that we try to live that out is to be to let our neighborhood, our community, know that Christ loves them by the way that we are among them. And I just want to acknowledge and thank those of you guys who came out yesterday to our Snow Elementary Gardening Project. The ones who are here, it's Kevin's here, and I know Eric and Annie were out there, and a whole bunch of others of the youth. But I especially want to thank Ruby and Doug, who kind of pulled it together and organized it. Guys, it was so much of a blessing. Oh, I forgot Will and Connie were there too. It was so much of a blessing to see the reactions of the talk a little bit to the principal and the school psychologist. And the PTA parent who was there, who just were wondering what the heck these teenagers were doing helping their school with the gardening project, but really, I think, touched that we would care to help them to turn their garden, which is kind of a mass of weeds, into a place where kids can go and learn and grow things and play around and things like that. So thank you guys, for those of you guys who were there. If you are not on the Home of Christ Facebook group, get on it. Doug posted a video he pulled together of our last couple of years of the gardening project, and it's just, those of you guys who've come in the past will be able to see yourselves. It's really cool just to think that for a couple times in the last 2 years we've been able to be a blessing to them in this way. And one of the things I communicated to the principal is that our hope as a church is to keep on being a blessing, whether it's with the garden or helping the kids out with tutoring or whatever we can do, just to let the school and this neighborhood know that we care, that God didn't just put us here for no reason. We believe God wants us to be a light here. So thank you for those of you guys who came out, and as we keep on work, because there's more work to be done, definitely, as we keep going back, we hope that more of you guys will be able to join us in the future projects. We have a whole bunch of announcements, the first of which, I'm going to ask Ann to cue up our video. Our All Home of Christ Summer Retreat is always an event. Every summer in August, we get together. It's at Sonoma State in the first weekend of August, the 5th to the 7th. And I think today the video should work. So do we need to cue sound? Is there sound on this thing that we need to set up, Will, or is it all good? Well, we'll go ahead and play it, and if music comes in, music comes in. But as we go, meanwhile, I'll do the commentary. The surroundings are beautiful. And as we mentioned last week, look, guys, the most important thing about retreat, in spite of the implicit message of this video, the explicit message of this video, is not the comfort or the quality of the food. It really is getting together as God's people from all the Home of Christ throughout. And being comfortable together. That's really the most important thing. No, it is really getting to, it's really cool to get together with the Third Home folks and the Fifth Home folks and the First Home folks. And Second and Fourth too. And worship with them, and to have workshops, great worship. Thank you. And our speaker this summer is pretty exciting. Pastor named Bruce Fong. So hope all of you guys can make it. And I'm going to stop talking.
And what else can I do? My heart is open wide. My hands reach up to you. I'm calling out for more. I'm asking in your name that by your Spirit, Lord, I will never be the same.
My love, your love is changing.
cool. Hopefully a lot of you guys can make it. And to sign up, what you do is you go online to the Home of Christ website. I think there's a, I don't think there's a link on our website. There will be a link on our website to sign up at hoc.org. And you guys can sign up and register online. Okay? A couple other things. Our summer servant leader internship is starting up, and so please be in prayer for the college students who are going to be here a couple of days a week to pray, to learn. We are lining up trips for them to take to various ministries throughout the Bay Area so they can get to know all the different ways that God is working in our community. And meanwhile, they're going to be here leading and planning and organizing different kinds of events to kind of stretch us as a congregation to reach out to our community. So please pray for those guys. We're starting to take in applications. A lot of people have responded. A lot of our college students have responded with interest. It's a really exciting thing. So be in prayer for that. We got some baptismal candidates in the class right now, and of course, if you're interested in WANA, information is in our bulletin. Okay? I'm going to ask Doug to come and lead us in prayer. All right.
We have a bunch of stuff we could potentially pray about, but I wanted to focus on just one item, which is families, because we have so many newborns around here and families getting going. There's a verse that I like. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also." A faith, again, a faith that was once in his grandmother, then in his mother, and a faith that lives in Timothy. And I was thinking about this many different times. I think about it partially because Lois, it tells us elsewhere in the book of Acts, is Jewish, and the father of Timothy is Greek. And so they're a family of cultural confusion. Anybody can relate to that? Probably. The other thing that our mind is left to wonder on is that it praises Lois and Eunice, and it doesn't have anything to say about the father. And our mind is left to wander. There's probably a dozen different ways we could go with that as to why the father doesn't show up in this picture. And, of course, could be the father ran off, could be the father's dead, could be the father was there for a while, and or the father was just a non-believer. Who knows? We can only let our mind wander. But it's something that's an encouragement to us in a way, that in spite of the craziness that appears on the surface there, that still Timothy is a person who comes out well and is praised by Paul. And, of course, at the same time, we have to look at the rest of Paul's writings. And everywhere else, it seems he's giving scolding of people that you need to behave well. And everybody gets offended today. So we read a verse in Ephesians where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect your husbands." And our cultural today somehow freaks out and says, "This isn't right." And I'm wondering what they're thinking. You know, does that mean husbands shouldn't love their wives, or wives shouldn't respect their husbands? Anyway, I'm just in terms of our church family, though. I just again think of the fact that we have these young families here, and as you grow older, one of the most important things when all of life blows by, and you think about your children, one of the things you will want more than anything else is to know that that faith that you had was living in your children. But it also says here that the faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois, it lived inside of her. It wasn't something that was just projected out on Sundays or shown to friends or something, but something really that was living inside. And as I think about a healthy family, I think it's really rooted in the fact that the faith has to live inside of us. And we're hoping to pass that on to our children. That's what they're going to see. And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of families that just drop their kids at church. It'll be good for you. And then they take off. And it's a pretty good bet that the faith isn't living inside of them. But at the same time, maybe they have some good intentions. So in the prayer time, I know some of us really not in that situation, but at the same time, we can pray for others who are in the situation of raising children. And again, just that this faith will live in these young families, that they will be faithful to one another, that God will grant them healthy families. Because you know, just as you get married today, you think about a world in which most of the families end in divorce and the kids end up with so many hurts from it all. Pray for the families, just that God will bless them, that God will keep our couples faithful and strong, and that the faith that lives in them now will continue and shine, and it will be passed on to the children. So that's the basic agenda I had for prayer. And you say, well, this doesn't really matter to me, but I think it does matter to even those of you who are young. As we pray about these things, it will help us to develop the right attitudes that will allow us to go through life in a more healthy manner. So I'll leave that as our prayer topic. And as usual, we're going to divide up into groups of, say, 3 to 5 and spend a few minutes, again, pray for one another, pray for our families and our myths. Okay?
I'm going to go to the next one.
Father in heaven, just thank you again for our families. And thank you that it's in some ways an image of Christ and the church. And I pray, Lord, that we will hold our families to be sacred. And even as Satan is launching so many attacks and wanting to tear things apart, Lord, that you will bless the families here in our midst, that they will be faithful to one another, that they will put you first in their lives, in their heart, and that the faith which they have now will continue to grow, that it will become stronger and stronger, the living faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I pray also that they might pass that on to their children, that you might pass that on to their children, as you have described here in Timothy. And we look forward to the good things that you're going to do, and pray that you'll just grant us patience and persistence as we continue to serve you. For it's in Christ's name we pray.
Thank you, Doug. All right, now on to preaching of God's Word. This Sunday morning, we have a guest speaker this morning who I'm really excited about him coming. His name is Thomas Chen. He's pastor at Breakaway Christian Church in Cupertino, San Jose, formerly CCIC. Thomas has a wife, Esther, and two kids, two young ones that are super, super cute. CJ, right? And Kareen, cool. And actually, their youngest one is about the same age as Eden. And sometimes I see pictures on Facebook of her, and I'm like, wait, is that our daughter? No. So, both really cute. But actually, I've asked Thomas to come and asked him a while back. It's hard to work out the schedule. Mostly because as I've gotten to know him, I've really been like you know, you talk to people and you just get the sense about them that you enjoy talking to them, but there's also kind of a depth. But that depth is not necessarily like hidden in this false profundity, but like just very real person. And so I thought it'd be great to have Thomas come and speak to us this morning. So let's welcome him to give us God's Word.
Hello. All right, is this unmuted? Cool. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate that. Wow, you know, I didn't know how Paul felt about me until now. I think it'd be good if you and I can talk more about that. Tell you how I feel about you. It's great to be invited here to speak to you guys. As we were praying outside, I was just praying, you know, it's such a privilege because I don't get many opportunities to worship with other people from other congregations, because I'm just used to just being in my own congregation, having to take care of things. It's just nice, right? It's just nice to be around other brothers and sisters who worship the same Lord, and it's just great. So I really appreciate this opportunity. I appreciate, you know, Matt and was it Daniel who's playing, just be able to worship with you guys. It's great. So I'm definitely enjoying my time here and stuff. So my name is Thomas, and yes, I confirm my name is Thomas, and I'm serving as a pastor at this church called Breakaway Christian Fellowship. It's a church plant of a couple of the CCICs that I grew up in, that I was youth pastoring at, and so it's been definitely a joy serving young people, and this has been good, and like Paul said, two kids has been fun, but you know, a lot of challenges and joys, I'm sure a lot of you know. Our baby, Corinne, she's it's like four months. I confirm with you. How old is your baby? About the same. So yeah, about 4 months. Very precious, very awesome. I believe that's like the best age, when they're really cute, they can't move at all. Best age. You plop them anywhere, and that's where they are, you know? So this is the best age. She's looking like she's starting to want to turn over. Like, no, I'm trying to flip her back. Don't do it yet. and my wife would be just trying to keep her. Well, she can stand, you know, holding on. I'm like, don't do that. She's going to be walking in no time. Just try to discourage her from progressing. I don't know. I just don't want them to grow up, you know? Anyway, So good to be here. Just a little bit more about, I guess, our family and stuff. Before she was born, okay, my wife, well, obviously my wife was pregnant, but she was about to deliver, and this was New Year's Eve, and she was getting these contractions and everything. We're like, you know what, this is it. Okay, so we went to the hospital, and we were there, we were admitted. We went in about like midnight or so, and then we were admitted around 3 o'clock, and we're like, okay, this is it, baby's gonna come. And this was actually like a few weeks before the due date, or a couple weeks before the due date, and we're like, okay, this is a little earlier than expected, you know, man, man. And so we were there, and we were just waiting and waiting, and then we waited until the morning, and the baby wasn't coming. And so the doctor basically said in the morning, hey, why don't you guys just go home, right? It's just better if you guys just go home, because it's better than being here. I think that was probably just some false contractions, whatever it be. Just go home, enjoy yourself. We're like, okay. And so we went home, and we've been home ever since, not until today, but ever since for the next like week, or next 3 weeks actually, we were home, okay? So basically, the whole 3 weeks was a whole new chance, right? It was like giving another chance of life, because I felt like, man, now we get another few weeks. Like basically, every single day was like a gift. Like I felt like, man, every single day was a gift from God that we have one more day with just us and CJ, okay? That we didn't realize before, and so every day was just like, wow, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to clean up the Christmas tree, we got to, you know, CJ at that time, he was kind of using his pacifier for a while, and we've just been thinking about getting him off that thing. During that time, we were able to get him off that thing by bribing him with a car, not a car, but toy car, but a nice toy car, like a big model car for big boys, because I say big boys get big boy toys. Big boys don't use the little things. And so he was able to use that or get rid of that. During that time, we were able to celebrate New Year's Eve with people, and we were able to have some get-togethers. People come over. It was just, you know, all this stuff that I was able to do, I was like, man, this is great, you know, and the 3 weeks that we had. And take that for granted, because this time with CJ even, this is the last time that we're able to have with just one kid, you know? And so during that time, we're just like, wow, this is definitely a gift from God. And the thing is, right, during that time with CJ, you know, for the last 2.5 years with him, we always think about the times when Esther and I would be together, just us two. We were thinking, man, remember those times when it was just you and me? Now there's him. You know, you remember how easy it was to get in and out of the car, right? You know, now we have to take him out and all that stuff, strap him and everything. And then now that CJ's sister is here, praise God, we love her and everything. Now we look back and thinking, you know, remember those days when it was just CJ? How easy it was to get in and out of the car, you know, everything. It's just like, wow. And just to think about it, I think as we live our lives, we're going to constantly look back and go, you know, remember those days, right? Remember those days when our kids were cute. Remember those days when our kids were little and they couldn't talk and all that stuff. And when their kids are out of the house, all that stuff, then we'd be like, you know, remember the days when we had the kids living with us? Oh, we would give anything. Actually, maybe we wouldn't. But, you know, like, it was nice, you know, to have once in a while kind of thing. The thing is that life passes us by really quickly. And you guys know, you know, babies are popping up everywhere in this group I'm hearing, right? This life just passes by. It just passes by. And so often we look back, right? So often we look back and think about the things that we could have done, things that I could have done, and we regret or whatnot. And or we look at the future and we're like, oh, you know, worry about this and that. That we forget to really treasure and value the present, right? To really treasure and value like what God has given us now, you know? And just to really enjoy that. Because then it takes the future to come for us to realize that we should enjoy the past. And it's just, I don't want to live that way. And it's a good reminder for me, just especially as I'm growing old and we're all growing old, is to really remember and treasure the times that God has given us and how easy it is just to go through life rather than to enjoy life, rather than to just really enjoy the time that we have here. So that's the message today that I want to give you guys. I hope this is relevant, you know, especially for all of you here, is this, to count your days, right? Count your days to make your days count, okay? That is to treasure each moment of your life, right? To count it as a blessing from God, to understand it as an opportunity that you'll never get again, and to live in that way so your days would count, okay? Now, this is not just some self-help, positive thinking type message, though it may sound like it. This actually comes from God's Word. Okay, and we're going to look at this here. It's in Psalm chapter 90. Okay, Psalm chapter 90, you might have seen this. 90, verse 12 is the key verse, but we'll be looking at the first verses as well. And we're going to see how God wants us to live, right, in a way that is wise. And I believe that God wants us to live in this way because this is wisdom. This is how he wants us to live. Look at Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Key verse here. Psalmist says, teach us. Okay, now he's praying to God. He's saying, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Okay? He says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So Psalmist is asking God, says, God, I want you to teach us to count our days. Right? Because help us to live in a way that's wise. Help us to live in a way that's wisdom. How do I live in a wise way? God, teach us to number our days. Teach us to not live in a way that I don't number my days. I just kind of live thinking that it's going to last forever. I have all the time in the world. But teach us that my life is short. And I got to live my days numbering them. Because that to you, God, is wisdom. How often do we number our days? I know I don't number my days. I can't tell the future. I don't know, right? You know, it's like I feel young. I feel immortal. You know, I'm going to live forever. But just to realize our days are not forever. They are numbered, right? Not to scare you guys, you're going to die. But the fact that you and I, we're not going to live forever, right? And some of you know, you have people in your life who have passed on and everything. It's like, wow, what? You know? And the thing is, if numbering our days is wisdom, then what is foolishness, right? Foolishness is to live not numbering our days. So teach us, God, to number our days aright, that we may gain this heart of wisdom. Now let's look at the context here to bring more, shed more light on this verse here. Okay. Now this psalm is written by Moses. In fact, it's the only psalm ascribed to Moses. And the scene is most likely the wilderness of Sinai. All right, the people they're wandering around and everything. And it's been years since the spies they had returned from this land of Kadesh Barnea with a bad report that caused the nation basically to rebel. And they're hearing this report about the land, and they didn't really have the faith to go in, that God was on their side. And now the people, because of that, they're wandering around this desert for years. Right? And we know the story. They've been wandering around this desert for years, getting nowhere. And God has just announced that everybody 20 years and above, you're basically going to die off. Right? You're wandering around, the whole generation is going to die off, and the whole new generation is going to be raised up to go into this land. And it was basically a funeral march for 40 years, right? A 40-year funeral march. People are just dying off left and right. And this gives us some context to this verse, isn't it? So when we read this verse, it's like we understand. Moses is saying, God, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain this heart of wisdom. Now you imagine each morning a reporter would come to Moses and say, hey, Moses, you know, somebody else died today, right? Somebody else, just every day there was a report of someone dying, kind of thing. And if you think about it, the desert was this expanding cemetery. There was more and more people getting buried while they were breaking camp and going somewhere else. They were leaving a grave, okay? They're leaving all these dead bodies and everything. So it's in these circumstances that Moses offers up this prayer. He offers up this psalm. And look at how he starts it. Okay, you look at verse 1. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Verse 3, you turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. Or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. So here, the psalmist, he starts off acknowledging who God is and saying, God, throughout all generations, that is from everlasting past, eternity future, God, you are God. You've been our dwelling place. That is, you've been our refuge. You've been our safety. You've been our safe place, our haven, our home. That before the mountains were born, right? Before the mountains came about, before you created the earth, before all this stuff, before all this creation came from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, right? Acknowledging that, God, you are forever. You're forever. You will last forever. You are eternal God. And so because you're forever and you're infinite, you're beyond everything, then when we look at ourselves and compare ourselves to you, kind of sheds light on who we are. We're finite compared to you. We're limited. And verse 3 to 6 says, you turn men back to dust. That's all we are. From dust and then to dust. He says, God, you just say, turn to dust, and poof, we're dust. That's it. And then he says, 1,000 years. verse 4. 1,000 years in your sight. How long is 1,000 years? Do you guys want to think about 1,000 years? I mean, I was preparing this message, I actually was trying to do some calculation. I haven't taken math since freshman year of college, but that's why I needed someone's help, somebody else's help from my group. And I was like, help me do the math here, okay? Let's say that people have kids, give or take, 35, okay? Some earlier, some later, whatever, okay? Divide 1,000 years by 35, okay? We're just talking about possibilities here. You can have 28 generations. Yeah, no? Okay, I know a lot of you guys are much smarter than me, so confirm, deny. Okay, so and then let's say, each generation has about 2 kids. Okay, give or take, some have 0, some have 10. Okay, 2 kids. See, I'm being not as generous. 2 kids. That'd be 2 to the 27th power. I don't know how I got that. I got it from a friend. Okay, 134 million descendants in the last generation. Is that right? That's crazy. I can have, if I pressure all my kids to have 2 kids by the time they're 35, okay, and pass that on, I can have 134 million descendants. I would be the ancestor. I mean, that's crazy. And if you add everybody up, it'd be 2 to the 28th power. That's 268 million. Head's about to blow up. Now, a lot can happen in 1,000 years. That's the point, okay? 1,000 years, this is a pretty long time. I mean, we think a year is sometimes a long time, or 10 years, and for our lives, whatever, we think we last forever, we actually don't. You think 1,000 years, we're not going to live past 1,000, we're not going to live to 1,000 years, or even close to. But since 1,000 years in your sight, God, this is like a day, that's it. Just like a day that goes by, like a watch in the night, that's it. You go to sleep, you wake up, that's it, right? How many of you guys actually remember when you're sleeping? Well, sometimes we do. It's like, that was a weird dream. Don't remember it. And it was just like, it's just, that's it, right? It's just so fleeting and everything. It says, 1,000 years in your sight, God, is like a day, a watch in the night. We live and pass away like sleep in the night, it says. Our lives are like grass. It goes on to say, grass. Springs up new, okay? Then by evening is dry and withered. That's it, okay? How short that is. And that's why he says, compared to you, God, when you're everlasting God, you're an infinite God, yet compared to you, my life is like grass. My life is fleeting. That's it. That's all I get. Man. And all this is to say, in light of eternity, eternal God, our life is brief no matter how long I live. No matter how long I live. In fact, you look at verse 10. It says, the length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. I mean, he's making the point that our lives are brief. And like I said, Moses, you know, he's seeing people dying left and right, right? He's saying, that's it. That's all people get. And the other verses in between really talked about how much greater God is. So, given that, okay, given the perspective of who God is and how we are in terms of our lives and the span of our lives, in light of all that, if our lives are so brief and so fleeting and so temporary, in light of the eternality and the greatness of God, then how do we live in a way that's wise? Right? How do you and I live in a way understanding this, you know, eternal God and we being so not eternal, okay? Verse 12 says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, okay? That's what he's saying. We learn to value each day so that we can live in a wise way. We count our days. We recognize that each day is a gift from God. We recognize that each day is really a precious gift. It's not going to happen again, right? What this passage shows us, if you look at this, is that we do so, as in we count our days, by living in light of eternity, right? To live in light of the fact that God is eternal. Live in light of the fact that there is eternity and that God is eternal. To live in that way, that is the wisest way to live. To understand who God is, understand who we are in light of who He is, and to live in that way. And if there's an eternity and my life is just a speck in the light of eternity, how do I live in a way in this life that will impact and bless lives or whatnot for eternity? Right, not to just live for the here and now and that's it, and just like live and put my treasures and stuff that's here, but that if there's an eternity and there's an eternal God, how do I live in a way that will count, not just count for life on earth, but that will count for eternity? So that when I enter eternity, I mean, like the way I live now, it counted, right? That there was a way that it's wise. And I believe it's to count our days, always placing them on stage against the backdrop of eternity, understanding there is eternity. Not only wasting each day focusing on this life now and how I can better this life, but how I can make an impact for eternity. Whose life can I touch for eternity? Whose life can I bless that will bless another life, that will bless another life, and it's gonna make an impact for eternity? Okay. Whom can I bless? Whom can I bring closer to Jesus? Whom can I just love towards Jesus today? Those type of things. That's the wise way to live, because those will carry on forever. Because the life I touch today can touch another life, and people will be in eternity in heaven, and you may have something to do with it. Right? That's just amazing. And the emphasis here is not on the number of days, right? It's not like, oh, live longer than somebody else. But it's on the use of the years, the use of our days. Because usefulness surpasses longevity. Like, you can live forever, you can live long, you won't live forever, but you can live like you think you can live forever. But really, it's about the usefulness of your days. And some people live forever, a long time, but then it's wasted sometimes, right? And some people live a very, very short life, and yet they've impacted so many people, okay? Now, what's the point of trying to live a longer life, right, if you're not living in a way that is life? Well, great theologian William Wallace once said, every man dies, but not every man really lives. Okay, you know where that's from? Not the Bible. That's from William Wallace. because if you think about it, what's the real tragedy? Right, the tragedy. What is tragic? I mean, now when you have people that pass away, right? When we hear about people that pass away, we know people that pass away. Every death, I mean, it's tragic. But is it a tragedy? I mean, like the real tragedy is that when someone dies earlier than somebody else, or somebody, you know, passes on earlier, it's tragic. But the real tragedy is when someone dies, right? Someone passes away, and no matter how many years they live, they've wasted it. See, that's a tragedy. If I was to live my life and not really care about anything and live for the now, I mean, that would be the tragedy. Because then I die and my life didn't really live in a way that impacted eternity. You know, it wasn't lived. When someone accumulates so much on this earth, spends so much effort, whether it be gaining more money, more possession for myself, more fame, more glory, more this, more that, and returns to dust, right? Isn't that the real tragedy? The real tragedy is not a short life, but a waste of life, right? What is that? Is that sometimes we get caught up in that. Sometimes I get caught up in that. And it's just like, yes, you know, let me just, you know, live for that one day. Like live for that one day when I can finally enjoy my life. Whether you call it retirement or you call it whatever you call it. It's just like, I'm going to work hard now. And I know it's going to sacrifice my family, sacrifice the time with them, sacrifice everything, all this stuff. I'm going to go crazy. But at least that one day is going to come and I can just finally sit back and move to Hawaii. Or I can just sit back and just enjoy my time with my kids finally, because now they'll be taken care of everything and now we have enough money. And we try to get that job so we can save up. When they retire, we work hard, do whatever it takes to get there. At the expense of time with family, at the expense of time with church family and community, whatever it be. And then when and if that day actually comes, and when that day actually comes, we realize, wow, that day, it's not as great as we thought it'd be, because we've been investing all that in that day. It comes, and it's like, all right, now I'm ready to spend time with my family. Wait a minute, they've left me, right? Or wait a minute, my kids don't want anything to do with me now, because I never spent time with them as they grew up. Right? Or my spouse, or whatever it be. And we just like realize, oh man, did I just waste all that? And what was all that about? Is it all that it's cracked up to be? That one day to just live for. But then we say, it's for the kids, you know? That's what we did it for. But we did it for the expense of spending time with them at that time. See, the thing is, all this stuff, I'm reminding myself, I'm telling myself, you know, don't get caught up in that. right? You might think, well, as a pastor, how do you get so much money? I don't. But even as a pastor, you could get caught up in that, right? You could get caught up going, oh, yeah, I want to be, you know, I don't know, well-known, or I want to go speak at as many places as possible. I want to speak at as many retreats. I just want to be big and everything. You know, you could get caught up in that. I could get caught up in that to the expense of my kids and just be like, oh, yeah, sorry, I got ministry, and God is more important than you. You know, and I could get caught up doing all these things and like, oh, yeah, one day I'm speaking to hundreds and thousands of people, but then my kids wouldn't listen to me, even though they would, right? It's just like, what a just waste. See, that's the real tragedy. It's like the rich fool in that parable, right? You know, accumulating for himself. I want bigger barns. You know, I'm not to have all this stuff, and I need to get a bigger barn to accumulate all this stuff. But then God says, "What a fool! Because that day your life's going to be demanded from you. What are you going to do with all the stuff that you have and accumulated? Right? That's just foolish." And I hope and pray for me, and hopefully for us, all of us, it's just we don't get caught up in that type of life, okay? Especially as a lot of us are starting families or wherever we are working and whatnot. It's not to get caught up with that mentality. Because I believe what God says here in His Word is it's wise to count our days. It's wise to take each day and think about it as an opportunity and a blessing, right? And you won't get that opportunity again. Okay, now you guys seen the movie Click? You guys watched the movie Click? Yeah. What is this? Like kind of? I didn't like it. yeah, kind of. Yeah, I saw half of it. I personally like that movie a lot, not because it's like they're so tasteful and everything, but because of the message in it, right? I remember watching the first time. By the end, I was like, why am I crying? This is Adam Sandler. And I remember right before Corinne was born, or second baby was born, I was like, I got to remind myself again of this message, and I watched that again. I was like, oh. Okay, so for those of you who've seen it, as a reminder, for those of you who haven't seen it, I'm going to spoil it for you because you'll probably never see it again anyway. This guy named Michael Newman, okay, played by Adam Sandler, he has a great wife, you know, longtime sweetheart. He has two kids, kind of like me, right? And he's just like, and he has this boss, right, this overbearing boss played by David Hasselhoff. Okay, it was awesome. And one night, you know, Michael, he just loses temper because he's like, oh, he's stressed. He's stressed out. And all these things happening, job, family, everything, and he's just stressed out over this remote control. It's like, which one controls what? Helicopter hits his head. And he's just like, I've had it. He goes Bed Bath & Beyond to buy a remote control. Universal remote control that controls the universe, right? This guy named Christopher Walken is this creepy guy. He's like, take this, right? And so, okay, so to make it short, this actually controls the universe. So he's fast-forwarding. He can fast-forward through things in his life. It's like, this is awesome. And while you're watching this, you're going, I want that, right? I want something like that because sometimes my wife nags at me. It's done. Yes, honey, right? And it's just so quick. And you could fast-forward your life, and you're trying to get that promotion like he was. Oh, it's going to take a year. I'll fast-forward through that. I got the promotion. This is great, you know, just getting to those places and not having to go through the stuff to get there, just arriving at these destinations, and that's it. And soon you realize, and through the movie, that it's skipping through all of his life, okay? Now it's going on autopilot. It's fast-forwarding on its own, okay? Because it has his memory, it's smart. And so it's fast-forwarding through his life. He's getting promotions left and right, okay? All this stuff that he's getting, that he wants, and he's skipping through all these things. But you know what's happening? His marriage is falling apart. His kids don't even want anything to do with him. They're grown up now. They don't like him very much, right? And then he's missed out on his opportunity with his dad who had passed away already. All these sad things starts happening, okay? And you're going, oh my goodness, he's just missed it. He's just totally missed out on life. And then by the end, man, it was just like, oh, of course it's raining because that's dramatic. And he's just running out, right? And you know, he was kind of dying on the hospital bed. But he runs out to his family. He tells his son who has grown up already, who basically is following after his footsteps of thinking about his job over his family, everything. And he tells him in his dying breath, you know, like, don't do it. You know, just spend time with your family. Family first and everything. And I'm watching this going, yeah, family first. Really touching, okay? Really touching. Of course, he wakes up, it's all a dream, and he decides, you know, oh, man, I got to live life differently. It's a wake-up call, right? It's a total wake-up call. So that's why it really touched me, okay? You can see why it touched me. Okay. Bing. And the thing is, I hope it doesn't take the end of my life, or I hope it doesn't take something tragic to shake me up and make me realize that I have something good right here, right? That I have my wife right there. I have my kids right there. And let me tell you, many days I live taking that for granted. Many days I live, my wife's just a nice roommate, right? Just, you know, we just both go online on the couches because we're just so comfortable with each other, you know? I'll be watching TV, people are playing video games, she'll be online looking at purses. I don't know what she looks at. And, you know, it's just, okay, it's nice. My kids, okay, let's just put them to bed so I can have my own time playing video games. Right? Oh yeah, I can't wait until 9 o'clock, 9:30 when I go to bed. And it's just, and then it just takes these reminders for me to go, wow, my kids aren't going to be that age forever. I'm not going to have them forever. You know, this time is so precious. I can't let this pass. Right? I can't let this pass. You know, each moment, if you think about it, every single moment that has been given you and given me is very unique. Like each moment that you get, you will not get that moment again. In fact, let's do this exercise. Right now, okay, you can see it, you can just observe everybody right now, where you are. Okay, stop. Now repeat that again. You can't. Because even if you try to repeat it, someone does something differently. You can't do it. The moment has just passed, right? Every single moment is so unique. And it just passes. That's it. That's all you get. I mean, you could say, I can invent a time machine, go back in time. No, but then it'll be alternate reality. You cannot get the same moment again. Do you understand? It doesn't work that way. And just to, you know, let that be a sobering thought, it's like, wow, each moment I get will not repeat itself. It's like, sure, I'll have my kids with me for the next 18, whatever, 17, 30, whatever years, okay? But then how many years do I get of them being 3 years old? Being 0 years old. You know, how many years do I get out of that? I don't. See, it's easy to get this mentality, oh, I'll have them for the next 18 years. Whatever, I can wait until they're later, you know, and then start talking more. You know, all that stuff. No. To enjoy the time when they can't move, or enjoy the time when they're still cute, or while they're still shorter than me. It's just all these things will change very quickly. Right? To enjoy that time. Will I ever get the same moments with my parents again? Right? How long do I have with them? My grandparents, my siblings, classmates, work people, okay, coworkers, friends, you name it. The people in our lives, like those exact moments has just passed. But you'll get new ones, sure, but those have passed. They understand like each moment is so unique. And to see that in the light of the brevity of life, in light of the fact that we are just here today and gone tomorrow and that God is eternal, how will I see each moment differently? How I live each moment, just saying, wow, this is a gift, and to count my days and to make that count, you know? Just this past week, you know, it's by the way, praise God, we're still here, right? Of course, we didn't doubt that, but the thing is, like, it started to get to you, right? You started reading up on it, and it's like, wow, they're really sure. But then they were sure before, too. And my wife was kind of getting scared by it. She's like, oh my goodness, I understand. I need more time with my kids. I'm like, it's not going to happen, you know? And she's like, yeah, but still. I'm like, what do you mean still? And yesterday, we're like, oh yeah, 6 o'clock is the time, right? When raptures happen, we're going to be left behind, but whatever. So we're like, oh, what to do? And we even planned to like just get together at 6 o'clock. I mean, this is ridiculous because we don't believe it, but at the same time, we're like, what if, okay? Let's at least be together. So we did. I mean, she was at a bridal shower or somewhere else. But, I mean, it happened that we were all together at my parents' place. Not for that, but we were just happened to be together. How convenient. Didn't happen. It was, okay, cool. But it was a good kind of excuse to be together. It's just, even though all that was bogus and everything, like, for us, it's a wake-up call, too. And I think, and the thing is, you know, it will come someday, you know? You know what I mean? Like, it's real. It's just, and it's a wake-up call for us. It's like, to really enjoy the time we have with each other, because we don't know. Jesus Christ could return anytime. And there's other verses that talk about this, right? There's other verses like Hebrews 3:13, I think, that says, but encourage one another daily, as long as called today. See that urgency? So that none of you may be harmed by sin's deceitfulness. Romans 13:10-12 says, love does not harm, does no harm to his neighbor, therefore loves the fulfillment of the law, and do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed, which is very true. But night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Okay, and like I said, the parable of the rich fools, the rich fool. Okay, the parable of the talents. Those, all these things are saying the same thing. Right, are telling us to understand the opportunities that we have in light of eternity, right? In light of the eternity. I'm glad last week, on the way here, I was listening to Pastor Chris Tatani's sermon last week, and I was like, oh, this is good, because she talked a lot about family, right? And I was wondering what she would say, because I wonder if she was going to say, oh yeah, just God, no family, and be like, I'll be contradicting that. But she was just saying, you love God first, you will love your family best. And I was like, that is so good, right? That spoke to me. It's like, yes, that's the way to make each day count, is to love God. When it comes down to it, is what God says in His Word, to love Him and to love each other. That's the way to live in a way that counts. Because in that way, everything will fall to place where you and I will be able to bless others because we're loving others, and we will be able to impact lives because we love God and love others. And that's the way that we are able to count our days and make it count for eternity. That's just amazing that we can live in that way. Now, I hope and pray that all of us will understand that because Jesus Christ has come, that He has freed us to live in that way, that you and I can love God, that you and I can love each other, and that you and I can live wisely, not just spend life just looking for things that we already have in Christ, right? Because Christ died and rose again. He gave us worth. He gave us significance. He gave us life. We don't go around in this world now, in the temporal world, searching for those things, because many people do. They search for significance through money, through fame, whatever it be. They search for security and foundation and everything through all these things. We don't need to. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about those things. All these things will be given to you as well. It's because of Christ that we are able to live this freed life, to really think about and to consider and to live out what really matters. We're freed to seek God's kingdom first. That's the thing. We're free to. It's not like I have to keep trying. I'm free to. I'm able to. Now, don't just go through life. That's a challenge for you. That's a challenge for me. Don't just go through life. Live it. Live it in light of eternity. Love it. Right? Enjoy it. Our lives are but a speck, and let's live in a way that counts. You guys are talking about following Jesus in these big decisions. I believe this is a huge decision to live in this way, to live in a way that I want my life to count, right? I want to live in a way that does count in eternity, to count your days and to make your days count. Okay, let's pray. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. Lord, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Help us, God, to count our days, to make our days count. God, I pray that you would allow us each here, God, to present our lives before you and just ask you, God, how can I live in a way that counts? Given just where you placed me, whether it be if I'm single, or I'm dating, or I'm married with kids, whether I'm a student, a worker, wherever you place this, how do I live each moment this week that would live in a way that counts for eternity? Because you, Lord, are a dwelling place, you are forever, and we are but a speck in light of that. So help us to live in that wise way. God, we thank you that Jesus has come to free us, that we don't have to worry about the temporal things, but we can be about the things of God and about the things of your kingdom, to seek you, to love you, and to love people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.